and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering. I'm so happy that you're here, and I want to thank you for saying yes to the possibility of inviting, inspiring, and igniting love in your life with your right guy. I'm thrilled to welcome you and women from all over the world to this event, which is designed to support you on your journey to deep, satisfying soulmate love. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm very passionate about supporting you on the journey to the relationship of your dreams, because it has only been 9 short years since I got support after a long and winding journey to love and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I'm so excited to have you here because I've gathered some of the world's top love, dating, and relationship experts to give you some of their very best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help support you on your journey to love. Together, we're setting an intention to provide you with the best that we have so that you can move through anything that is holding you back toward the extraordinary relationship you have always dreamed of. I'm so thrilled and honored to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. Please take a few notes, or better yet, also check out the VIP upgrade packages at readyfortherightguy.com/VIP, and you'll also get the supplementary resources that complement each of the interviews. It's my privilege to interview and introduce our wonderful guest expert today, Adam Gilad. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Good to be back.
Thank you so much for being back. Adam is back by popular demand. And just a little bit about Adam before we get started. Adam is a prolific author, speaker, screenwriter, film producer, mentor, and coach. Adam Gilad lives to spark his readers, clients, and audiences into creating a robust, daring, and fearless life of love, adventure, and nurturance. An Emmy-nominated executive producer, Adam's award-winning films have appeared on USON Networks, Lifetime, and TNT. He has authored over 20 television shows and teaches dating, intimacy, and deep eros. Adam has authored countless audio trainings and written several books specializing in learning the language of the other gender, cultivating a dance of the sexes rather than a battle, the play of sexual polarity, as well as a determined fearlessness in self-awareness, self-evolution, global responsibility, compassion, and forgiveness. Wow, I love what you stand for in the world, Adam, and I'm so excited about what you're going to share with us today. I know, Adam, that one of the things that you speak about a lot is inspiring love, and I think that's going to be the topic of our conversation today, right?
Yeah, sure. It's a good one.
Yeah, and one of the things that you often say is that we actually don't find love, but we inspire love. The title for this conversation is You Don't Find Love, You Inspire It. Tell the ladies on the call what you mean by that when you say that, Adam.
Great. Okay. First of all, hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here again. Yeah, so I've been teaching men and women for 10 years now. And in the larger cultural context, I see that a lot of people really have bought into the dominant idea that you find love or love finds you. That you find love, and I always kind of joke that it's like not something like coins you find under the couch. You know, if you look around enough, if you go on enough sites, if you go out enough, you'll find it somewhere, and there it is, and you take it home. Or it's out there looking for you. You know, you have the old image of Cupid's arrow hitting you, you know, and what that really means is you have this hormone, you know, it's like a poison dart with packed with hormones, and you go into infatuation, which is what that actually means. But again, that comes from the outside. And I think these are really damaging metaphors. I think they're really damaging context for the whole project of love and for anything, actually. It takes much more, you'll get much more success when you're internally motivated. And the other large cultural context, besides sort of external, internal, is the world has changed. The competition is much higher. The options are much more, you know, if people, and this is one of the reasons we have high divorce rates and why a lot of millennials don't even want to get married. I don't even see a point to it. Because, you know, when you're, I'm going to go a little crazy deep here. Is that okay?
Yes,
I'm gonna use,
please.
I'm going to use my education. I have 10 years of advanced university. So, you know, Karl Marx, for all his mistakes, had one interesting insight that the economic structure of a society really determines the social structure. So marriage came up in a culture of ownership, right? And so somebody bought something and they owned it. And that's really how marriage sort of came up culturally. We don't live in an ownership society anymore. We live in a much more lease option society, right? So if AT&T is not doing its job, you go to Verizon, right? Everybody
mm-hmm.
does. And if Time Warner isn't doing its job, you switch over to whatever, Dish Satellite. And if your car, you don't like your car, you switch your car company. And if things aren't delivering, you switch, which is actually not a terrible thing, right? And so our minds, you know, our culture has changed, so our minds have begun to change. Our expectations have changed. And when we get into relationship, because there are so many more options, there's 10,000 dating sites, and it's easier to meet people, and our expectations have risen, probably that's a whole question whether they deserve to in general, because we see possibilities everywhere. If a partner is not delivering, then why wouldn't you move on to somebody who does deliver? If AT&T doesn't deliver, you move to Verizon. If you
right.
marry somebody and they don't inspire you, they're not inspired, and they're not inspiring you because they're not growing, they don't put the effort into the relationship, you know, they're not showing up in a way that tries to make you happy, yeah, of course you should move on and find someone who's actually interested in making you happy. And in all the coaching work I do, the big question I ask, and this is a really good one, when people say, should I stay with him, should I not, my big question is, well, do you feel honored by him in his presence?
Mm.
Basic question. Everything else, we laugh together, we both like tennis, he makes me, who cares? So do you feel honored? And so because we live in this shifting society now where people want to have their expectations met, you know, we need to inspire each other. We need to step up our own game because the competition has risen and we have more options. So it's not like the old days where, you know, you find somebody and you get in and then you kind of stop growing. So I say start early in the date, before the dating process, in the dating process, you know, refine your own sensibilities, your own life, so that you're an inspiring person to your partner. And in the work I've been doing the last couple of years, there's really three categories of that. So I'll do that real quick.
Yeah, please.
All right. So, and this is big stuff, you know. This isn't like little tips and techniques about, you know, what to say on a first date. This is like the whole question of, who are we as human beings coming together? So the first question I ask and the first training I do in this series is, how are you inspired in your life, right? Are you entering into the relationship as someone who's inspired by their life so that you're kind of a positive outflow of energy instead of someone who's dating and just trying to kind of fill a gap in their life? Now, most people can feel that difference, you know, and most men want to be inspired by their women, and certainly all women want to be inspired by their men, right? I think there's a little difference, but basically we all want to be inspired in different ways by each other. So you look at your partner and you go, this is a, especially for women, they want to admire their man, right? I'm sure you admire your man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, inspire you about him. And so to be an inspired person means that you're really turned on by life. You've got something going on. You're excited. You become kind of like an energetic, you know, nebula. You know, you're just like this cloud of positive energy because you're inspired about something. And there's kind of nine categories of an inspired life. So maybe you're inspired by your physical life. I know couples that love, you know, they work out and they're skiers, and that just turns them on and they really connect and they're always getting better, right? You could be inspired by your emotional life, like getting deeper and deeper. You could be inspired spiritually. You could be inspired creatively. You could be inspired sexually. You could be inspired socially, doing stuff in community. But in some aspect of your life, you're just like lit up, right? I call them kind of like the nine fires.
Mm-hmm.
And then your partner looks at you and goes, huh, this is someone who's, you know, I admire this about this person. That's only step one, though, okay? People forget about that part. They usually go to step two, or the second area of what I call how you inspire love, is to be inspired with your partner. So that means that you actually do the work of understanding how to communicate in ways that your partner can hear and respond positively to. So I've been working a lot on this in the last year. It means becoming kind of a ninja of communication, right? And there's so many techniques that have really been worked out by psychologists and psychiatrists. I'm actually looking at one of my favorite books right now, Dr. David Byrne, Feeling Good Together. And there are processes of communication where how you open the conversation and how you frame the conversation and how you, you know, end the conversation so that your partner walks away going, wow, my wife or my husband or my girlfriend, they're amazing. They really handled that difficult situation amazingly well. I feel better. Whereas in most relationships, it turns into a landmine. Right? People get accusatory. They tend to label. They tend to blame. Mm-hmm. They tend to shame. And they fall into habits because, frankly, most people haven't been trained in how to have effective communication in such a way that it's a positive experience for both parties, even if it's a difficult situation. Right? So there are a lot of techniques. So that's the second sort of category, how to be inspired with your partner. And the way to test that, and this is sort of in my programs about this, when the conversation's over, the difficult conversation's over, because everyone's going to have differences, your partner, it leaves an aftertaste of love, where the person goes, wow, I'm really grateful to be with this person. And most of us have been in relationships where we've handled relationships really, communications really badly, right? And we walk away going, oh, God, I'm an idiot. How come they don't listen to me? Blah, 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 right? But if you learn this very simple, actually, techniques, and there's a lot of them, but if you learn how to handle different kind of situations, your partner will love deepens over time because they just so appreciate how you handle the natural difficulties and ups and downs of being a human being, right? And that's something that really evolves over time. And that's something I noticed with my bride early on how beautifully she could handle situations, you know, differences, uncomfortable things. Bimbo eruptions, you know, running into old girlfriends and things, you know. So that's the second part is how to be inspired with your partner, right? And this is a two-way street, obviously. I mean, I wish I could get every couple in the world into a room and go through these practices because you'd get rid of 80% of arguments right there. And then here's the big one, and I really work with men especially on this because I think women tend to do it more than men. Which is how to be inspired for your partner, okay? Mm. So the first one is how to be inspired for yourself, how to live a life where you're radiant. And, you know I love that word for the feminine, just this light, radiant, joyful being because feminine radiance is our catnip for men, right? We just are drawn to it in ways that I could talk about for hours, but we're drawn to your joy. We're drawn to your love of life, right? That's number one. So being inspired in your life. The second part is being inspired with your partner. And the third part is being inspired for your partner. So being inspired for your partner means that you're a stand for their self-expression and self-growth and their happiness, even when it's uncomfortable or inconvenient for yourself. And to me, that's the ultimate expression of love, especially speaking as a parent, and I'm sure anyone who's a parent knows what I'm talking about. You know, we talk about it as sacrifice. Which actually comes from the word sacred, which isn't bad, actually. Never thought about that. Because it is sacred. It's a kind, when you sacrifice something for your partner or for someone you love, that is the greatest expression of love because you're really there for them. So you're inspired for their journey, for their highest journey, for their real journey, not for every whim that they have, but to kind of hold a vision for them that's their vision, that's their highest vision. That's not what you want them to be convenient for you. That feels like dangerous ground because, well, what happens if the vision takes me away from him away from me? Well, it's possible, by the way. I wish I could sugarcoat it, but it's possible, you know. Hopefully not. Hopefully you've known each other well enough that you can support your vision of his self-expression in such a way that he feels eminently supported by you. Just like, wow, this woman is so on my side. I can't tell you how many men I know who have not felt that. And the ones who do feel it are eternally grateful. And by the way, men should do it for their women as well. They should support your self-expression and your greatest happiness, you know, even if it's inconvenient. Because that's what love is. Now, and I give an example of, like I said, being a parent, it's really easy to see this, and it's kind of more natural to do it. And I give the example of my younger son, who's now 20, he'll be 22 by the time you hear this, which is insane. But when he was a little boy, he was very unemotional. Like, he didn't express emotion. And we thought maybe he had Asperger's on some level. He's a brilliant kid, brilliant math, everything. And he didn't express a lot. He was very knowing. He still is. But now he's, like, socially and emotionally beautiful, warm, lovely. But he really was different back then. He didn't express a lot of emotion. So every night I would say to him as I put him to bed, and by the way, I love you. And he'd look me in the eye, and he'd go, I know. Right? So every night, never said I love you back. So now I understood that he, you know, he had his own journey. And for me to force on him to say I love you back to me to make me feel good would be the wrong thing, right? This is only about inspired for your partner. You have to be in touch with their journey. So I would say to him every few months, by the way, in our culture, when someone says I love you and you love them back, you know, you could say it back to them, right? And I would put it that way, very, very light, okay? Because to force it on him would have not been in support of his self-expression. So sure enough, the day before he went to college, he called me up, Dad, I need some jeans. Can we go shopping for some jeans? And I'm going, sure, I'll come pick you up. And he goes, great, I love you. And he hangs up. And I'm like, what?
Like, wow.
Now, 17 years in? But that's what he needed. And now it's easy. Now it's we just adore each other, right? And so it wasn't an idea. I'm just, it's funny because this morning I have a coaching client who's a very successful man, but he's very emotionally needy for various reasons. And my training for him with his girlfriend to make it work means holding back that neediness. Like we all want reassurance all the time, right? Some people want it, you know, consistently every second. But we all want to feel reassured that someone loves us, and we generally feel someone loves us. But some people are really needy and touchy about that. And I've had to work with him to rein in his personal need for soothing in order to serve the relationship, right? Because it really turns her off when he does that. So that's kind of being inspired for his partner. He has to rein in his own kind of neediness and really deal with his internal stuff so it doesn't kill the relationship by being inspired only for himself, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. There's a lot to think about there. And I'm thinking about so many of the women on the call who may be in the place where they don't currently have someone in their lives to practice some of these skills on or with, more in a partnership kind of experience. What would you recommend for a woman who is single, would like to really invite someone into her life, but really is not in a place where she can practice these skills in partnership with someone right now?
Number one, learn the skills ahead of time. Because if you have the skills, you when they meet you, they're like, wow, who's this woman who has these amazing skills? So they come up pretty fast. You know, your ability to communicate and ask questions and validate and, you know, and reflect and ask probing questions that open them further, you know, comes up pretty quickly in dating. You know, you get a sense of that. I'll put a pin in that this part, which is that it's all about agreements early on. So you have to know what you want. Until you can agree to relationship agreements, you know, until you kind of know what's important to you. So there is preparatory work before you meet someone that can really increase your success with someone. So, but let's take someone who's maybe not in any kind of relationship at all. And dating, it all relates in your profile, and I love profiles. We've talked. I think last year we probably talked about it, and we should certainly give people a link to my program, Right Men Online, because I think people really do online dating wrong. And when I help them, when they read, you know, men or women, when they look at my approach, it's very different, and it works. I get letters every single day, and so instead of going online, and I use going online as a sort of stand-in for the entire dating process, because when you go online, you articulate what's important to you, right? And it's just a great opportunity to think it through. So when you go online, rather than say, I like this, I like this, I like this, I like this, you know, which doesn't really fall on a man's ears as inspiring, you want to inspire him from your first word. Okay, so we take all these principles, now we put it into the profile. And again, I'll use profiles as how you're approaching dating. So, for example, instead of saying, hi, I'm, you know, Glenda, I'm 45. I work at such and such. I have two cats. I like Thai food. I like to take walks. There's nothing in there that's inspiring, right? Instead, what you want to do is catch a man's ear of how his life, that's all that matters in a profile, how his life is going to be so much better with you in it, right? If he doesn't get a sense, if he doesn't get inspired by your profile, why should he write you? And this is the thing that a lot of women complain about online dating, because they go, oh, these guys write to me and they just want this and that and they haven't read my profile. And, you know, well, the reason is because you haven't really written to the man you want to meet, right? You want to reach the ears of exactly that guy you want to meet. So you start a profile not by saying, hi, this is my name, this is the food I like. You start your profile by going, I can pull up some examples. Let me pull up some examples. Actually, I've written for people or written using my stuff. You create a vision of what life is going to be like with the two of you together. And how, again, how his life is going to be so much better. And I'm actually going to open up something. All right? So I love doing this, by the way.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, Adam, if I can just interject one thought here. I was actually speaking with one of my clients last night, and she said she had, she's a brand new client of mine, and she said she had started interacting with the man online, and he was asking her what she's looking for, and she gave him this big long list, and he said, are you just looking for one man?
That's really funny. So what she did was, what she did wrong, if I can say, was that she was saying, this is what I'm hoping to find, not what I'm hoping to create. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm so glad you brought that up, because people have this huge list. I want someone who plays guitar. I want someone who gives me this, who gives me this, who gives me this. It's a consumerist model of dating, okay? Let's turn it around. Here I'm going to give you I'm so glad you brought that up. That's perfect, because what are you looking for? I would say I'm looking to create a relationship where we both feel supported, where we both feel happy, where we both feel free to – you know, pursue what makes us happy individually and also really enjoy things together, where we feel we can talk about anything together, where we feel like, well, we're best friends, right? I'm talking about creating something, not finding this checklist on some guy out there, right, which feels like a burden for the guy. It's exactly what we've been talking about since the beginning of this call. Instead of putting the burden on the other person to supply you all this stuff that you have to find, right, you're actually co-creating something together. So let me give you an example. This profile was written by a woman in Texas. She's fantastic. She came to one of my live events. I do live singles events with men and women together. And she learned exactly what to do. And I just actually got a letter from her yesterday. I wish I could read you the letter. It's not as important, but it's just, she was over the top. She met this amazing man, and she's so happy. Why? Because she didn't list her assets like people tend to do. She created a vision in her profile and in her mind of the life she and him, he could have together, who he was. So let me just read you the difference. In this profile, here's how it started. Ready? Not, I like to play tennis. It's, here's why you are wildly sexy. Now, as a man, I'm going to read that, right? As a woman, you'd probably read it too, right?
Yeah.
So she's not talking about herself. She's talking about the guy she wants to meet, and she's going to describe him. And the guy who reads this is going to go, huh, that's me. I should write to her. Or, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to have a chance with her. And this is how you filter out the lesser guys. So here's why you are wildly sexy. You are confident. You know your way around in the world. Maybe horses. She likes horses. Definitely a fearless king in the business world, and especially in the bedroom. Now, wow, she's got someone's attention. Okay. Remember, a profile is a marketing, it's a marketing piece to find exactly the right person. Now listen what we did. You are solid. You are happy in the morning because you know yourself. You are thrilled to see my gorgeous face on the pillow next to you, smiley face. We're offering a reward, right? You're a brassy guy with a soft, loving heart. You're kind of an enlightened cowboy. Even if you are a horseman, you're positive and strong. And even if you've been hurt in the past, like all of us, you're a man of courage, ready to create something new, powerful, passionate, open, adventurous, outdoorsy, and fun. You're a true man, comfortable in your fit body, we got that in there, and open to sensual experience, true and honest and noble, protective, and curious to explore what it means to be a human being on this beautiful wild earth, all right? So we've painted a really clear picture of who she's looking for, right? So if he reads that, he's going to go, well, that sounds like me. Now, then listen to what we did. Me, I'm an intelligent, youthful, and successful career woman who's super healthy, stimulating, adventurous, outdoor, and fun. If you're the type of man who wants to finish your awesome day, come home and dance with me while we make dinner, laugh playfully, and then settle in for an evening of delicious home-cooked food and a soak in the hot tub, write me, and I'll tell you why you're the strong, together man I would naturally admire. Okay? I especially admire men who look for the good in other people. Okay, so then what we did is you talk about the qualities of the person and how you admire them. And then we added, listen to this, if you are my man, I will inspire you to more greatness and we will create a happy spiral of affection, respect, curiosity, and passion. So the approach to dating is not, I'm going to find someone who fits this checklist, because no guy wants to feel like he's just slotted into someone's checklist, right? He wants to feel like he gets to be your hero. He gets to step up and, like, you know, you're going to inspire him, he's going to inspire you, and you're in a process together, right? So it's more of a call to the kind of a guy who wants to be in this process rather than just a checklist.
Yeah, and you're really painting that visual image in his mind of what it would be like to be in relationship with you.
Yes.
A very appealing and attractive and inviting image of what it would be like to be in relationship with you.
That's all that matters in the beginning. And it's important because that's what you're getting into, right? So that's why I keep saying it's important to do all this work ahead of time, because it's important to understand, like, the kind of work that you're doing and bringing all these great teachers. You know, really get people thinking, well, what am I getting into? Because we tend to focus so much on getting the boyfriend, getting the girlfriend, but we really haven't done the preparation to be the awesome girlfriend and boyfriend and start out with the kind of expectations and agreements that create the great relationship, right? So in the beginning, what you want to do is you want to inspire him with a vision of what it's going to be like together. And yes, the more physical, you know, it's the old fourth grade English or seventh grade English class thing, show, don't tell. Like, give specific pictures. Don't talk in generalities. But, you know, like when we said, you know, come home after a long day's work and have a home-cooked dinner and get into the hot tub. Okay, well, I have a picture now. Okay, that's an example.
Yeah, you've painted a very vivid picture in his mind. And like you said, that helps him to self-select if that's a story, if that's a life he can see himself in, right?
Yes. And then you put in the profile, you make sure, and I think you saw a taste of it, enough setting the bar high, saying, you know, if you're this guy, you know, you're the kind of guy who is a leader in the community. You're the kind of guy who's thoughtful for strangers. Whatever is important to you, because every woman listening has, you know, something that's important to her, specific to her, you have to set that bar high. If you're this guy, write to me, you know, because the guys who aren't what you want now probably won't write to you because you've filtered them out. Most women don't do that with their profile. So, and the general feeling for him is that my life is this is so simple. My life is going to be better with this person in it than without it, right? That's the bottom line. And so how does it feel better? There's actually 13 categories, and if they get the right man online, they'll see it. There's sort of 13 categories of victory that men look for in relationship. And I use the term victory because men tend to see life as victory and loss, winning and losing, which is a very different way of looking at life than most women. So you want your profile, you want yourself to feel like a victory for your man. And he wants you to feel like he's being your hero. That's what he needs. Men need to feel that. If a man's woman is unhappy, it's the most disconcerting thing. So he needs clear, and this is about relationship, he needs clear instruction on how he can be successful with you. But that we'll get to that later. Yeah,
that's a writer downer, ladies. He needs clear instruction on how he can be successful with you, because that's so key. And another thing I've heard you talk about, Adam, is that when you're living your life in an inspired way and you have that happiness and that joy, that's very compelling and very inviting to a man, because I think it comes back to what you just said. He's more likely to feel like he can be successful with a woman who is already happy in her life and already living her life with passion and joy than a woman that's slumping around hoping for someone to come along and fix her life, right?
Yes. They want to feel like they're a victory in your life, not, you know, that that they're going to experience victory if you're not, that they're trying to, like, fix something that's broken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you're attracting, inviting, inspiring love from a whole different energy wavelength. You're more likely to be attracting love from a place of abundance than from a place of neediness, which, as we've already discussed, is not the most attractive place to come from.
No. Not at all.
Yeah. It's a totally different energy. I guess what I'm saying here is that along with creating a profile that's compelling in the way that you've so beautifully described and demonstrated for us, another thing that the women on the calls can do if they're single and wanting to invite someone into their life and to have that magic happen is to begin living their lives in an even more joyful, even more inspiring way, right?
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing. Like I said, there's a sort of 9 categories of life. The more happy, inspired, smiley, joyous, you know, the victories that men look for is like she's already happy in her life. You know, she loves her body. She loves men.
Mm-hmm.
She loves her work or what she does. She has a passion, you know. These are the things that we intuitively get subconsciously, like, oh, my life's going to be really good with her. She's happy. I have happiness in my life with her, right?
Right. And that gives him that feeling that he can win and that he can be her hero, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've dated women in the past who were wonderful, amazing women, but I didn't feel I had anything, whatever I tried to do, I'm thinking of one person, she was an amazing woman, and everything I kind of offered, she had a better idea. And in fact, her ideas were often better. You know, she had an amazing experience in the world, and I would recommend a restaurant, and she would say, you know, there's a better Thai restaurant, like that. And I just, it was like, I couldn't be her hero. And it was pity because she was amazing. You know, she was, you know, we loved each other. But it kind of debilitated the relationship over time because I just couldn't feel like I couldn't be her hero. I couldn't add to her life in a way that, you know, made me feel like I was useful to her. So women, it's really important for women to allow men to be their hero.
Yeah. I know, Adam, you went through earlier in your life a rather painful divorce, and then you were single for a number of years and dated a lot of women. And I think the women on the call would love to hear a little bit more about what attracted you to your now bride, Sandy, and what stood out for her, if you don't mind me asking you a personal question.
No, of course not.
I think they'd love to hear that.
It's a great question because we were together 4.5 years. And I was traveling a lot during that time. So it's a great question. So we met online, and, you know, in the beginning, what I liked about her sense of humor was great. What I loved about her from the start was she knew her mind. Like, she was strong. She said early, and I don't recommend this for everyone necessarily, but early in the dating, I don't remember how far it was, maybe like a month in, she said, I have a question for you. She said, is it in your playbook in life to marry for life? Because that's very important to me. And if it's not, that's okay. And I don't mean now, you know, it's too early to talk about it, but is that something you're going to be interested in at some point? Because if not, then, we shouldn't date. Because that's really my long-term goal. So she was really clear about that. And I liked the elegance with which she said it. And then the next thing that kind of really caught my attention was she said, I guess maybe 4 months in, 3 or 4 months in, she said, listen, you know, we're obviously connected. She says, I really like you. You're different. I'm not interested in dating with anyone else at this time, so I'm turning my profile off. You're free to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I went, wow, that's confidence. And that's what I call taking self-responsibility. There was no sense of I'm doing this, so you have to do that too. Right. If she had said that, that would have been a red flag for me because she wasn't really honoring my process. Right. But she was. She was saying, this is what I want in my life. I'm taking full responsibility for what I want. And, you know, you're, of course, free to do what you want to do, which I thought was incredibly mature. There was no neediness in it. So I was very, very impressed by that. Other things were and you know how I talk about I touched on radiance and love and that kind of thing. What a lot of women don't realize, because they're inside of it, is that your capacity to love, which is core to most women's lives, your ability to connect and serve and pour love out, is incredibly attractive to us, even if it's not on us all the time. So I watched her in her work. She worked with families. She's a behavior specialist, and she worked with a lot of families with kids with autism and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I watched people's reactions to her. Like, everybody loved her. She'd worked with for 20 years. She had poured so much genuine love into these kids and the way she talked about them and their families and the gratitude. I mean, when we got married, we had families she had worked with 18 years ago who still love her, right? They just stayed in touch with her and they wanted her in their lives because she poured so much love out. A woman's capacity to love and what I call pour love into the world is like, it's like water in the desert for most men. Because we generally don't live like that, most men. Most men are caught up in the, you know, daily, am I winning, am I losing monologue in our heads. How am I doing in the world? That's not quite the same thing as love. You know, and most men are actually super lonely. And I work with thousands of men by now. I'm just doing another event with about 20 men next month. And they're wonderful guys. They're good guys, but they're really lonely. They don't have the kind of social love and network that most women have. Right.
Right.
So it was, I call her La Fontana, Italian for the fountain, because she's really a fountain of love. And for me, that's important, right, personally. You know, kind of, I had a very loving mother, so it's, you know, I'm sure there's something there. But it's like, I was like, wow, here's a woman who generates so much love and joy in her life. And not because her life was easy at all, just the opposite. But she, as a little girl, I mean, she just came out with her own program on how to make behavioral switches in your mind. She talks about she's half Chinese, half Caucasian, and she was told by a teacher in class, in I think it was seventh grade, that nobody should marry out of their race. She was like, I'm half. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, they shouldn't do that. And she stood up and she said, are you going to continue saying these kind of things? He said, yeah. And she walked out. She goes, well, I'm not going to sit in this classroom. So she's very clear about right and wrong, and I admired that. There's a strength there. So the ability to love, to create joy, and she created this ability, and I think she became a behavior specialist because she saw so much cruelty and, you know, not niceness in the world. And how can you take the raw material of the world, which isn't always so nice, and still create love and joy? And I think that was one of the big things for me. And it just built over time, her thoughtfulness, the way she was so kind and welcoming to people. And just she created this kind of radiant pool of love that I get to be near, which is really nice for me. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, and I loved how you shared some of the history and some of the things that happened in the early stages. And one of the things that I found really beautiful was when you shared that not only did you feel her love in relationship to you or toward you, but you observed her being this loving being in general with people out there in the world and how she navigated different situations with all different kinds of people. And she was really out there just being this amazing source of love, not just for you, but in the world in general. And I think that's really a beautiful compliment.
Yeah, and it's something you want to be near. And by the way, like, it's funny how you said it, which is really great, because if someone's really loving to you but really nasty to other people, that's a clue that, yeah, this loving act may not last that long. You know, it's not who she really is. It's not who he really is. And I tell women, of course, watch how men are with their families and friends, waiters and all that kind of stuff. Because their true nature will come out. But, yeah, that stuff really, really counts. Like I said, most men are lonely, and especially over 40. I think probably most of us on the call probably over 35. You know, especially men, as they get older, can feel especially lonely because they don't have the social networks that women have. So when they feel that they can, you know, enter this, let's call it a pool of love and warmth and nurturance, it's a very beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, and still feel supported in their individuality. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's important too. And I really appreciate the way you shared with us the question she asked you early on, because I think that was so elegantly said. And the way she asked you if it was in your playbook to marry for life was a very elegant and non-threatening way to discover something really, really important before she invested years and years and years of her life.
Mm-hmm.
as you know, Adam, one of the big challenges in relationships is that people enter into relationships with different expectations, don't always communicate them, and there are assumptions that are made that those expectations are going to be the same, and then somewhere down the road they discover they're not the same. And I really think that's beautiful, the way she teed that up early on in the beginning.
Yeah, it's so important to, you know, there's no rules for relationships. There's just agreements. You know, you've got to be, and I urge every woman, you know, I know sometimes it seems hard to find the right guy, but if you don't really let your needs be known in a good way, in a positive way, in a fun way, but really be known, then you're not, then you won't be have a happy relationship because you won't be being authentic in the relationship. Because you're going to eventually resent it. And a lot of women are afraid to say, well, if I say this thing, I might lose this guy. But if he's not willing to give you what you're, if he's not eager to give you what you need to be happy, you know, he's not your right guy anyway. I'll give you another example, by the way. This is a great one. And it mattered to me. It really mattered. We were at a party early on, a few months in, and I was talking to this woman, very beautiful woman, and that's an important part of the story. It was a very elegant, beautiful woman. She ended up saying a really weird thing to us, which was she turned to her and she said, "Has he taken you on a passport vacation yet?" Which is such an L.A. thing to say, right? We looked at each other like, really? That's such a rude thing to say.
Passport vacation.
I know. It was amazing. Anyway, for those of you in L.A., I think you know what I'm talking about. But so I was talking to her, and I just kind of touched her arm. As we were talking. I'm a very touchy guy anyway. I'm from New York and big family. And as someone who dates and teaches men how to date, you know, one of the things I always say is establish physical connection so that you're not just talking at each other. So I touched her arm as I was talking to her without even thinking. And she called me over. She said a little later, she said, "Can I ask you a favor?" And I said, "Sure, what?" She goes, "When we're in public together, when we go out to a party or something, would you mind not touching other women?" And I had a reaction for a second. I went, "Ooh." And then it took me about a second, and I said, "Well, you know what? You're more important to me than my need to touch other women. If that's important to you, happily." Right? And that was a real key moment because she asked it in a really nice way. She wasn't demanding. She wasn't judgmental. She didn't shame me. She just said, "Would you mind? It would make me feel better." And I had my one man moment of like, oh, nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? It was like literally half a second. And I was like, you know what? It was very clear. You're more important to me. So she was able to ask for what she needed, and I was able to hear it. And I think that's probably why it worked, right? If I wasn't able to hear it, it wouldn't have worked. And if she didn't ask for it, she would have built up resentment over a long time if I was doing something that made her feel uncomfortable and safe.
Right.
So that kind of really standing up for what's important to you. Crucial.
Yeah, and she made that request in a way that you could hear it, as you said, and I think part of that is that it wasn't made from a place of anger, it wasn't made from a place of shaming you, as you said. It was just basically sharing something that would be important to her and inviting you, more or less, to step into that space.
Exactly. It's perfect word, invitation. If she had said, you know what, I think it's really rude and disrespectful of you. And I'm like, whoa, what? You know, we never talked about it. So if she had come from that place, it would have been the death to the relationship.
Yeah, I think in the work that we do, Adam, a lot of this is nuance. And one of the nuances that I've learned in my now 9-year marriage with my husband and I work with my clients on is this skill of being invitational with our requests and expressing our needs with men rather than instructional. And it's very easy to sound instructional. If I invite my husband to do something or ask him to do something for me from a place of invitation where he feels like he's stepping into it by choice, I get a totally different reaction than if he feels like I'm coming from a place of telling him what to do. And I don't even mean to sound instructional sometimes, but I realize that in certain instances I have.
Yeah. Instructional is the word you think?
Yeah, like it sounds like I'm instructing him, telling him what to do rather than inviting or asking him.
Yeah, no, most men don't like that in general. But I would I put another kind of tinge on it, which is, and I've been reading so much about this last year, shame. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a subject that I'm fascinated by. Obviously, Brené Brown has done amazing work. And there's another guy named Stephen Stosny, Dr. Stephen Stosny, who talks about male shame. And it's a really hard subject for people to talk about because, like, men should be able to take it, right? Like, they shouldn't spiral out the shame. But I work with enough men. Men have so much shame about so many things. And what you're saying, what you, the term you're using, instructional, I would also, you know, maybe reframe it as shaming them, that you're doing something wrong. Rather than, as you love, as you put it so beautifully, inviting them into something, which is so much better, you know? So male shame is one of the huge things that I teach, like understanding how that works and working with it, you know, rather than shaming men for having shame, making it worse.
Yeah, and I think it's easy if we shame a man without even, in most cases, probably without even meaning to, it's easy for him to feel like he's failed, which, as you have already so eloquently said, is one of the things that doesn't make a man feel loved or loving toward a woman, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not succeeding, he's not her hero.
Yeah.
Adam, I know we could talk all day. I love talking to you, and you have so much wisdom to share. You're just a, speaking of fountains, you're a fountain of wisdom, and I'm so grateful for your generosity in sharing. And I know that you have a wonderful free gift for the listeners on the call, and I believe that this is a webinar training called Three Skills That Grow and Inspire Love Every Day and Every Night. You want to just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I kind of go into detail when I mentioned those three areas of what does it mean to inspire love. You don't find love, you inspire it. How do you do it? By being inspired, first of all, an inspiring person. How to be inspired with your partner. And then very specifically, how to be inspired for your partner. So it's actually it goes into detail on how to actually do these things, sort of very technique-y. You know, this is what you do, this is what you do, here's an example. You know, particularly in the communication realm, the second part. I talk in the beginning about the areas of your life and how to kind of like turn up the flame in different parts of your life, your creative life, your sexual life, your social life, your intellectual life, spiritual life, just very good, simple practices to start turning those flames up so that you're more attractive. And then I also talk about those next two steps in the inspired love process. So, yeah, I love that one. You'll see. You'll catch my enthusiasm in it.
Thank you. And just so all of you know, you can access this by clicking on the link right under Adam's picture on the event page that you're listening to this from. And that link will be live and available throughout the event. But be sure to get it now so that you don't miss out. Because as you can share, we've just barely touched the tip of the iceberg here with what Adam has to share. And I want to thank you so much, Adam, for being here with us. And before we wrap up, though, I'd like to have you have an opportunity to just leave us with a parting thought.
Okay. Well, you don't find love, you inspire it. I have another phrase I use that marry every day or never. So it's not something, you know, there's no, it's just every day, it never stops. It's every day is inspiring, you know, every day is an opportunity to create more love. Not to find something, not to prove that he loves you, but to create more joy, to create more connection, create more support, and to stand up for what you really need. And I really emphasize that because I've been just seeing so much of that. And what you need more than anything, and this is the big, big, big question, by the way, if you meet somebody and you kind of like him, do you feel honored by him? And if you don't, do what she did. Say, no, this is what I need to feel honored. Hey, would you mind? This would make me feel honored with you. And watch his reaction. Because if someone really cares about you and is capable of loving you, honoring you is going to be the core of that. So always look for that central core thing.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And I really appreciate you sharing that. And I want to thank Adam once again for being here with us. And I also want to thank each of you for being here with us. And remind you that you'll be able to listen to each of the interview replays for 48 hours. However, I really want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering VIP packages, and you can get all of the details and special event pricing for that at readyfortherightguy.com/VIP. It's an incredibly generous offer and only available at this low investment for a very short time. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And Adam, thank you so much. The ladies love you. You're back by popular demand, and I'm honored you would join us again. And Adam and I are both sending each of you lots of love, blessings, and wishing you happiness as you invite, inspire, and ignite the relationship of your dreams with your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.